When she was a little girl, Beck was a very nervous, anxious kind of girl. In fact, she still is. That Bible verse was in a scripture and song CD that we used to play, that one song over and over for her as she fell asleep each night. Do not be anxious about everything, in everything. And of course, we can still sing it to that tune because we heard it so much. But whenever it comes up now, I'm reminded that even in our anxiety, we can give thanks and find things to be thankful for. And it's a life verse because anxiety is a lifelong thing. So it's cool.
Thank you, my darling. That's a good start. Chris, can you press record on the... Cool. The best stories draw us in, don't they? The best stories bring us into the picture. They make us feel like we're part of what's going on. The best stories are stories that kind of resonate with us. There's something important happening. The best stories are the ones that are shared over and over, and they become part of our own folklore. They become part of our own history, if you want to put it that way. My favourite little story that has become part of my family's folklore is when my dad first went on a date with my mum, and my mum tells the story of how he slurped the bottom of the milkshake, and she was so embarrassed to be there with this young man who was just making all this noise and slurping the bottom of the milkshake, and yet they still got together. Now, that story is important to me because if mum and dad hadn't met and fallen in love, then I wouldn't be here. So I kind of find myself in that story. And the best stories of all are the ones that change us, the ones where we are impacted, where we're changed, where we're transformed by hearing the story. Thanks, Sylv. The story told in the beginning of Luke is actually told in several places in the Bible, and it's a story that becomes part of other people's stories. John the Baptist is coming, and Luke says of John, he is a voice shouting in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord's coming, clear the road for him. The valleys will be filled and the mountains and hills made level. The curves will be straightened and the rough places will be made smooth. Then all people will see the salvation sent from God. This is actually a quote from the book of the prophet Isaiah. And it's talking, in its context in the Old Testament, it's talking about the return of the Israelites from exile in Babylon. The Israelites had been taken out of their nation. Their temple had been destroyed. They thought that God had abandoned them. And that happened in 576 BC. And they were carted off to a foreign country. The prophet Isaiah prophesied that God would bring his people home. And this is the passage that he used. God would make a way through the wilderness so that the Israelites could return to their land, to their temple. God brings his people home is part of this story. The second context, of course, is from the Gospel of Luke here, where John the Baptist prepares the way for Jesus in about 26 AD or so. And that's a story of how God himself is coming to his people. Jesus is coming. The Messiah is on his way. And John is preparing the road for him. But it's not just there that this story stops. Context number three for the story of preparing the way for the Lord is our own lives here in 2015 AD. What has the past year brought? What will the coming year bring to us? And how is God present in our own story? I'm going to run really quickly through the parallels in this passage in our own lives. Prepare the way for the Lord's coming. Clear the road for him. The valleys will be filled and the mountains and hills made level. The curves will be straightened and the rough places made smooth. What are the valleys that we have been through in the past year? I know some people's story a little bit from this past year. I know that there have been valleys of grief or despair or depression. There have been really low times in some of our lives. If this is not you, then that's fantastic. Thank God and rejoice. But these valleys are part of the valley of the shadow of death. The fact that we live in this broken world and things are not as they ought to be. The passage says that the valleys will be filled. For us, the valleys of despair and depression and grief are filled with the presence of Jesus. Jesus is the good shepherd who comes to us and who doesn't leave us in the valley, but actually walks with us through the valley. He says, Psalm 23, as you know, says, "As I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." The valleys in our lives are filled with the loving and gracious presence of Jesus. What about the mountains? It says all of the mountains and hills will be made level. Well, perhaps the mountains in our lives are the mountains of pride and selfishness. The things that stand in the way of God's work and his coming in our lives. And I know for myself that if God had to level those mountains, and he does, that it's pretty massive earth-moving stuff. These mountains of pride and selfishness, the things that stand in the way of God's work in my life, are massive. And it's not always easy. And it's sometimes painful when God is at work leveling the mountains. What about the curves? It says every curve will be straightened. The curves are really, could be translated, the crooked places. These are the places in our lives that are twisted, that are not straight. The relationships, the actions, the thoughts. And that raises the question for us, just as John the Baptist raised the question, what requires repentance? Where are the places that are twisted that God needs to straighten in our lives as we look back over 2015 and as we look forward to 2016? And this changes us as well. Just like the mountains being flattened, the curves being straightened is something that transforms us and cannot but change us as Jesus comes in our lives and straightens out what is twisted. About the rough places, it says the rough places will be made smooth as the Lord comes in our lives. The tough parts of our journey, the difficult parts. When life is rough, when it's not all easy. And yet also in these times, we know that Jesus is with us, that the Lord has come, that God doesn't leave us when things are tough or when the way is rough. God's salvation is just as present for us as it was for the people to whom John the Baptist was preaching as he prepared the way for Jesus. Prepare the way for the Lord. It's a story that's happened over and over in the lives of God's people. It happened in 576 to 516 BC, with the exile and God's people returning home. It happened in 26 AD, when Jesus was coming to bring God's forgiveness and salvation. And it happens right now in our lives too. And we pray that in the midst of the valleys, in the moving of the mountains, in the straightening of what is crooked, and in the walking through the rough places, that we will see the salvation of our God. Jesus is with us. He doesn't leave us at those points. He won't let anything get in the way of God's work in our lives. And he will continue to work with us to straighten out what is twisted and to walk along the rough places with us. Thanks be to God that the story of Jesus' coming, of God's coming, and of his work in our lives doesn't just stop in the pages of the Bible, but it happens to us right now here in Advent 2015. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's just pray briefly. Heavenly Father, thank you that Jesus comes in our lives and that his presence is as real to us as it was to the people to whom John the Baptist preached and Jesus preached. Thank you for the presence of Jesus with us in the tough places and in the valleys during the past year. Please lead us into repentance and straighten out what is twisted in our lives so that we may see your salvation and we may glorify you for it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.